Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Sarah Lefkowitz and Bessie Hyman are interviewing Vivian Lehman on February 3, 1976, in her den on the second floor of her home on Darlington Road.
Your voice is very good on it, Bess.
Mm-hmm.
The interview has taken place in Mrs. Lehman's morning room, not her den. Mrs. Lehman, tell me something about your family, your father, your mother, your sisters, your brothers.
I can tell you this. I have here, I don't know about my grandfather, the temple gave me the dates of my grandfather's birth and death, and they're the early years. Nathan Gallinger, 1811, and died in 1886.
How do you spell Gallinger?
G-A-L-L-I-N-G-E-R. And they, with the Franks, were the first people to settle in Pittsburgh. We'll take care of it.
What was your mother's name?
My mother's name was Ella, E-L-L-A.
And her maiden name?
She was Ella Gallinger.
Oh, I see.
She was the third child
of
this original family.
I see. That was your mother.
That was my mother. And they resided in Allegheny. They were the first people with the Franks to come and settled in Pittsburgh.
Which Frank was that? William?
What's the old man's name?
William Frank.
William was the son.
But I thought
I don't know what the father's name was. I've forgotten. You ought to know.
Was that I.W.?
No. No, that I.W. was a son of the one who settled here.
Let's see. I.W. Is this being recorded, everything I'm saying?
Yes. That's all right.
That's all right.
Well,
tell us about...
I would like to ask a question. You said your mother's name was Gallinger.
My mother was Ella Gallinger.
And your father was...
My father's name was Emanuel Wolff. W-O-L-F-F.
Was your father a Pittsburgher?
My father was German. And I wish I knew the background more. Yeah. I don't.
When did he come to Pittsburgh?
Well,
approximately.
I have this. This is the only thing that I have. It's their wedding dinner at the Duquesne Hotel in 1887. And that's the menu. And I came here for the first time when I was 6 years old, just to visit. Then I never came back until I was married in 1921.
Did your mother was a Pittsburgher?
My mother was from Allegheny.
And she met your father in?
Where she met him, I don't have any idea.
Where did you live between the? Where
my father?
Your father and mother and you. Where did you live?
Originally, they lived in Binghamton. I mean, after their marriage, they live in Binghamton, New York. And New York is actually, I would say, my home, because I lived in Binghamton as a child for about 6 years. Then we moved from there to New York. From New York, we moved to Buffalo, and my teenage years were in Buffalo, New York.
Did you have any sisters or brothers?
I have a brother, still living but older, and not well.
Do you remember much about... What do you remember about your school? About the school years.
Oh, it sounds so silly because...
But it's not. That's one of the things we'd like to know about is
oral
history.
Don't have that on there. Not having a mother at home, I was indulged and spoiled at home and at school.
What kind of a school?
A public school.
remember anything about your teenage years, what you did for recreation?
Well, of course, my real teenage was mostly sports, would be golf, which was one of my favorite sports. And that I followed through my years in New York, and here in Pittsburgh was president of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association in the 30s, 35 and 36.
Is there anything that's going on today that bears your name?
Yes, there were two cups. One cup I gave, and that was retired. That was, of course, the championship cup. It bore my name, Vivian W. Lehman. And then following that, when it was retired, the Women's Committee of the Westmoreland Country Club entered another cup in my honor and bears my name and is still being played for.
What is it called?
Vivian W. Lehman Trophy.
Was your home an affluent home?
I would say it was middle class home. I wouldn't call it affluent. But I had, what my life was affluent because everything was given to me. I was probably the most spoiled, indulged young woman that ever grew up.
Do you remember any talk of politics in your home when you were a child? Politics or?
No, I don't think politically. My father's business was the early days of the aluminum business, and from there, when he moved from Binghamton, he went to Buffalo and then entered the field of radio, and which was fast changing, and also was interested in theaters, small theaters.
Were you taken to the theater often as a child?
No. I didn't. I had theatrical friends, but I wouldn't say that I had any kind of a theatrical background. No.
Were there many books in your home that your parents... Did your father read a lot or encourage you to read a lot?
That didn't cause me to read a lot, but I was very much influenced by I studied music, and I was very much influenced by my teacher, who was the she was the Queen of Belgium's tutor.
What type of music did you study?
Every instrument that ever was, trying to find something, especially voice.
You went to primary school in?
In Buffalo.
And secondary school?
Secondary school, I didn't have any secondary school. After a few years out of school, I went to Columbia University in the extension courses at Columbia and took playwriting, and especially playwriting, and secretarial work.
Do you remember much about the medical care in your youth?
I was ill a great, great many times, critically ill many times from practically in my childhood, through all these years of my life, at many times not expected to be recovering.
What did your family do when you were ill?
What did they do?
Yes, was there a doctor that came?
Oh, I was in hospitals.
Hospitals?
Yes, I was hospitalized many times. And of course, recently, in these recent years, for several years, I was at West Penn, in and out of West Penn.
Do you remember anything different about the hospitals that you were in as a child and the hospitals that you were
No.
Can you tell us anything that
I remember? Of course, when I was here and made my first visit when I was six, I had typhoid and was rushed home back to Buffalo, back to Binghamton. Those were those early years, and everybody had typhoid that came to Pittsburgh.
When you were growing up as an adolescent, what did you do for fun or recreation? What was the pastime other than the studying of music?
I had a group of intimate friends, but I had very little gaiety in my home life because of my mother's health. I don't think I had a happy childhood. I had an indulged one, but not a happy one.
Where did you meet your husband?
Where I met my husband?
Yes.
I met him the first time when I was, after college at Columbia. I worked, and my first work was with the Macy Company. And I was favored very much by the Strausses, who took me out of college or urged me to leave college and work for their sister, who was widowed. Then I went down to Macy's and worked at Macy's for a number of years until I was married, until 1921.
Where did you meet your husband, and what was his name?
Chester Hamilton Lehman, who was a born Pittsburgher. And an active, philanthropic, civically minded family, of which I felt extremely proud.
When you were first married, where did you live?
I lived here.
In this same house?
I lived for 3 months with Albert Lehman, who was responsible for the new Montefiore Hospital, was president of the new Montefiore. And then I moved here in 1921, in the fall of 1921, and I've lived here 54 years.
In the same house. Do you mind telling me a little bit about the Strauss family and Macy's? Anything that you can recall about
the Strausses?
Yes, something that would... anything of interest about?
No, that except they had tremendous faith in me, and gave me probably encouraged my extravagances because I saw so much that was extravagant one of the house. I didn't live in their house, of course, but I saw so much extravagance that I longed. It spoiled me. And I long for the luxuries.
When you said that Mr. Strauss asked you to work for his sister, was his sister at Macy's?
Was his sister?
At Macy's?
No. His sister was married to a doctor, Dr. Weil, and was widowed quite young.
What type of work did you do for her?
Secretarial.
Was there any other type of work you did besides secretarial and...
When I left Macy's, I was taken in as a partner of a musical manager, and I traveled all over it was during the war when there was no Pullmans and just, I called them cattle cars. And I traveled all through Pennsylvania, and that's when I met Mr. Lehman. That was the beginning of my knowledge of Mr. Lehman, but we weren't married until 21.
How did you meet him? Through friend?
No, yes, I guess through friends. I really don't know.
What did you do at Macy's when you worked at Macy's?
Well, I was in there in various departments, but in the personnel.
One of the questions we ask is how neighborhoods have changed. Do you think that this neighborhood has changed much since you've lived here?
This was the second house on this street when I came here in 21. And the Mellons owned all the property opposite us. All that was Mellon property, and as now, of course, broken up into small homes. After my grandfather, my mother would have been the first, and I am the second generation of the Gallaghers.
Generation, you mean in this country?
Mm-hmm.
Generation in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Of the Gallaghers.
There were no Gallaghers anywhere else. They were all here.
Oh, really?
All in the north side.
Tell me about the organizations.
What?
Tell me about the organizations to which you belonged and how you participated.
I have it all down there on that paper that I gave you. The first place, when I came here, I, like everybody else, it was the beginning of the community fund, and I worked with the community fund. Then, when the symphony was organized, I was on the board of the symphony. And
do you remember who organized it or how?
It was the early years of Mrs. Babcock and all those people who have since gone, and Mrs. Irish. I can remember, you know, if I looked at one of the old books, but I can't really remember their names now. Mr. Rothschild. Are you interviewing the Rothschilds? You know which one I mean? There's only one. I wonder if she's still living here. I think there's one Rothschild. They're an old family here in Pittsburgh.
At the Rabbi Rothschild, the son became a rabbi? Jack Rothschild?
No. Mr. Rothschild was one of the early ones that was arrested when we had a symphony on a Sunday. We weren't allowed, of course, to have it.
Yes.
And the Babcocks and all those people, you know, went to jail.
How long were they in jail? Were they in jail because they were the board of trustees?
Well, they were in jail because they were on the board and they allowed a concert on a Sunday.
Did you go to jail too, Mrs.?
No. I wasn't in that original, that very first group. They were a little bit older than I. Not much. Well, then, of course, perhaps the most active piece of work that I have done here, and it started, I think, in the 40s, was the Association for Care of Cardiac Children, known as Heart House, and that existed for, I think, about 40 years, and it only was dissolved this past year, and the money that had been raised over these years was given to Children's Hospital. We worked through Children's, and that was probably the thing. I was vice president of that. I was a director. And I was responsible for the decor. Now my chief, I should say my chief impression on Pittsburgh was that I did much of the decor of various places. One of them was the original gift shop at the Montefiore Hospital. I never worked with committees. I insisted on working
alone. Did you do the decor for anything besides the
cardiac? I took over the cardiac home, which is out in Valencia, and did the entire decor for them.
Did you ever do decor for any social clubs?
Not clubs. but for my husband's office, which was written up. I couldn't find that last night, but it's one of the first antique offices in Pittsburgh.
I thought that you had worked at Westmoreland Country Club.
I did. I forgot. I did the first Westmoreland Country Club, which burned down. And, of course, bond without, never with pay for anything. And I did many of the original larger houses in Pittsburgh, helped with the decor.
Must have liked decorating a lot.
Well, I went to college with a girl. When I took my course at Columbia, she was at a course in New York taking decorating, and was a very well-known decorator, did many houses here, Spears, Cleese, all kinds of everything that I could get for her, she got. So that rubbed off on me. And then when I was working in New York, one of the things that I did in New York was to work for I guess you'd call them a milliner. And I was a saleswoman, which I loathed and despised, and had to go around to the various, you know, Macy's, all the big department stores, and sit around and wait for an appointment. I didn't care much for that kind of work. I didn't like waiting for anybody.
What other community involvement?
What, dear?
What other community involvement did you have?
Here in Pittsburgh? Well, Symphony, Cardiac Home, the hospital, the Symphony, Community Fund.
When did you get interested in Boy Scouts?
I was interested in Boy Scouts because it was my husband's interest, among other things. He was on the board, and he also was a vice president. And scouting was my first interest actually, but through my husband, when I came here and saw the lack of appreciation of the inheritance of the youth in the city, and the lack of flags anywhere. Nobody ever put up a flag unless it was an event. And that goes back to about 1961. And then I determined, when people, after Mrs. Lehman was sick, I said 8 or 9 years, it was 9, I think, and people came to see me from the different boards that he was on, I realized that his chief interest, the sickness was, of course, nervous breakdown. And I then realized that the very last years of his life, he always met everybody and said, "I'll give you the Boy Scout handshake." That's what made me lean towards scouting. Then I did that building downtown as a memorial, which does not bear his name, because I do not believe in people erecting building, having their name on it, and then leave it to the committee to carry the cost. And that building was built with the idea of it being funded in perpetuity, if such a thing can happen. I do not want it ever to be a community, a project, where anybody's responsible for any expenses. Now, the camps I don't run, that's too many thousands and thousands of dollars. But the building, nobody spends any money in the building. That is my project.
Can you tell me a little more about the building?
Well,
the purpose of the building.
The purpose of the building, of course, is for there are 40,000 Boy Scouts that go through that building. It takes about 3 years, and they have their scout leaders and their troops. It takes 3 years for all the troops to raise their flag, the flag of the day. That would be the historical flags. And we have the original historical flags, the paintings of the historical flags, and it's called the flag room. There, the boys witness this mural that was done by Milton Caniff, and they have one other patriotic film that they see, and then they go to the plaza, which is outside, and then there's a ceremony that they change the historical flag. Every day the historical flag is changed. The American flag, of course, is the highest flag. All the flags are on 80-foot poles, but at to the right is the American flag. Then there's the flag of the city of Pittsburgh, the flag of our state, the historical flag of the day, and the flag of the Boy Scouts. Five flags fly every day, all night.
Is there anything else you would like to tell us about your involvement with the Boy Scouts?
I don't know what to say. But I'm on the board, of course, and I'm on the board from Flag Center and Flag Plaza. There's been a development called the Foundation. It's a National Flag Foundation, which means we own all the art that is given to us of the flags, and it is ours. It is copyrighted. Nobody may use it. The building's furnished pretty much in antiques, and the antiques are from my husband's office, which was the first antique office in Pittsburgh, which was written up at the time.
Is there any other community involvement that at the moment?
Well, I had no church involvement. Did you want me to tell that? I had no Jewish.
Shall we have that for next? I'd like that for next time, because that would really be.
Well, I have no church involvement because I had no church as a child. I was not raised in a family that had church affiliations, and it was the saddest thing in my life that I didn't have, and that was what made it so easy for me. When sickness came and I needed a pastor, I had no pastor, because sadly enough, in those days we had no pastor. We had one wonderful teacher, Dr. Freehill, but there was nobody to go around to see the sick. So it was easy for me to be converted. It was no problem.
I understand that.
But I still defend the fact that I think everything is because of the Jewish faith, and the ecumenical movement is to me the most wonderful thing that's happened. That people are beginning to understand one another, and when I first came here, there was never a city that was so anti-Semitic as this city in 1921. Anti-Semitism was unbelievable, no matter what your work was. If you have a Jewish background, you were something out of the Lord knows what.
Do you find less anti-Semitism now, or would you not be in a position to?
As a matter of fact, I had very little of it, but I was conscious, always conscious of it. I think there's less. But I still think there's a large group of anti-Semitism still existing in both Sewickley and in Ligonier. Much, much too much.
Could you tell me why you went to the Episcopalian
church? Why I went to Episcopalian
is in preference to...
Yeah, is it being taped?
Do you prefer not?
No, it's all right. I found all my friends who had six members of their family, their husbands, were getting such help from their pastors who came to see them in the hospital and gave them such comfort.